Hello and welcome to Healing From Within. I am your host, Cheryl Glick, author of The Living Spirit Answers for Healing and Infinite Love. And today I welcome Wendy Aronson, the author of Refeathering the Empty Nest. And we hope to offer new thoughts on a cycle all parents go through and how this time represents a profound shift from the rigors of everyday interactions with your children to a period of self-reflection and reorientation, with suggestions of how to do it well in order to support yourselves and your children at this exciting time in your life. We hope to discover that every cycle in your life is an opportunity for greater and an improvement and a love of life. Wendy Aronson has been a licensed psychotherapist since 1981 and is in private practice in Greenwich, Connecticut, and has consulted with local schools and an active charter member of the special education section of the Greenwich Parent Teacher Association. Hello, Wendy, and welcome.
Well, hello, and thank you. So glad to be here.
You know, Wendy, as listeners of Healing From Within are aware, we try to provide a look at the issues and life experiences all of us encounter as we discover a greater awareness of both our spiritual and physical challenges, and as we try to investigate the events that may help us grow and mature and develop a healthier view of ourselves, our interactions with others, and the ways we can start to view the world and all events as opportunities, not only challenges, but true opportunities to live in balance, harmony, with a deeper regard for the gift of life. In today's episode, you and I will discuss the normal flow and cycles of our lives and how each period offers tremendous possibilities for the creation of stronger self-values and a motivating force for a healthy and curious exploration of ourselves, our relationships, love, and the world. Wendy, you can offer key advice for parents as they make the shift, taking them from the rigors of daily parenting to a period of reflection and inner evaluation of their life, who their children are now as mature adults, and what they wish to do with the next cycle of their life. We will also discuss how to move forward productively in new parenting roles with grown-up children and in our roles as spouse, employee, friend, neighbor, and self. Wendy, you know, a question comes up right away. Did anything in your earlier life or observation of your parents' handling of their life after you and any siblings left the home offer insight into the writing of this book?
Not so much. Really, the biggest impact of writing this book was becoming an empty nester myself. And I wrote it in anticipation of this, of my youngest son leaving for college, and knew that it would be, and it would impact my life. And I also know in my professional life, I hear this quite a bit from many of my patients, people struggling with this issue, and that it is exactly as you say, a time of challenge as well as a time of opportunity.
Right. And we're going to help our listeners today, hopefully, find their way past the fear and into the land of opportunity, because that's what life is all about, a choice, always a choice.
That is true.
How to go one way or the other. Now, I didn't really have too much of a problem with this. I, myself, when my daughter was 18 and going into college, my husband just very quickly said to me, you know, you've been doing tax sales, I think you want to do something else. And with that, I applied for another job. I was an interior designer, and I went into a very large company and had a wonderful experience. But his saying that to me, because maybe he anticipated that he was feeling the change even before I was, so I just paid attention, and I've always done that. When good advice comes, I always see the possibilities for creating, and we want to help people to do that. Now, you say in the book there are approximately 25 million parents living in America who are classified as empty nesters, and this was a survey done by Data Monitor. What happens when parents no longer have to shuffle kids to soccer practice and the other, I see them, many of them, as robotic chores of daily living? And why do many parents actually dread this phase while other parents are able to enjoy their freedom? What are we dealing with here?
That is such a great question, because I think what happens is some of the parents that are on what I call front and center, on the front line, in the daily activities, as you say, this robotic kind of activities, this is their job description. And all of a sudden, their last child leaves, and their job description has totally changed. And what's even more challenging is that job description has not even been, the new one has not been identified yet. You were lucky enough to have your husband have the insight and the, you know, the ability to communicate with you, as well as your ability to take it in and say, gee, there might be something to this, that this is an opportunity to make a change in your career, et cetera. But some people are so startled with the fact that this is no longer their job description that they don't quite know what to do.
Well, I'm going to say I was never a stay-at-home mother. I always worked, because
right.
I felt, I do feel this way, and I haven't encouraged even my daughter, who has four little girls close together. She is still working a full-time job, but she does work from the house on certain days. I feel that women who have an opportunity to receive a good education and should develop themselves and their interests and never get lost totally in the parenting. And that goes for fathers, too. Some of the fathers nowadays are so hands-on that they have no time for their personal inner life and introspection. Between their job and their family, they're on constant go, and this is not good for health. I think being open to all the possibilities of a good life means being open to your own development. And I think some people, unfortunately, for one reason or another, get lost and lose this perspective. And I want to say here, there are also people who are living vicariously through their children's activities and successes, and they may have lost their own spirit and the direction of their own life. And also, some people are just afraid of growing old. This is another serious component to this. You know, when you have young children, you're in one stage of life. When you go to having mature children, children who are marrying or perhaps having their own children, you're in another stage of life. So what was your major reason for writing this book, besides your own son going away? I think you were becoming aware of some other issues going on.
Well, I think it was also another way of me stretching. I think it was a way of me, you know, if you would, giving birth and developing and, you know, changing myself as an individual, as well as I had never written a book, and as well as doing something that was out of my comfort zone, that was really important. I, too, have always worked, so I've always felt a sense of balance and feel fortunate to have that sense of balance, but I think that takes work as well.
Absolutely. And this is what we want to help people out there start to do. Not everybody can work a full-time job and raise their children. Obviously,
no,
they
true.
Don't have the resources maybe to have help with the parents or siblings around them. But we're going to encourage people to create new interests, no matter what stage of life they're in, because this is the way to balance, as you just said. And also, we want to help people become aware that there's two major emotions that are always guiding us through any situation in our life, and that's love and fear. And so many people have fear when there's a big major change, like a child or all their children now out of the home. They just have tremendous fear. And maybe they have some concerns about how their relationship with their spouse will be, or their friends who may still have younger children. These might be some thoughts on their head. But what are we going to say about fear and love?
We can say a lot about fear and love, because I think fear, I think when you talk about people being scared of this stage of life, oftentimes the fear comes from the unknown.
Yes.
Because there's no way that we can predict what is going to happen. We can't predict how our children are going to deal with it, how we are going to deal with it. So that fear kind of, you know, can be stirred up quite a bit. And then the fear is of who am I besides, you know, John's mom or Janie's mom? You know, what else do I bring to the table? And what's going to happen if you're lucky enough to be married and have a spouse? What's going to happen? What are my spouse and I going to talk about? So this has the rumblings of, you know, we've been a partner and we've been wonderful at parenting, but where, you know, there's that fear of, is there going to be enough in our life? So again, some of the unknown. But you talk about that, and you talk about love, and one talks about the love of, you can talk about the love of self, meaning yourself and feeling comfortable within your own skin and having good self-esteem, and the love of your spouse or the love of your children. All of these things are kind of guiding forces that are, you know, go hand in hand, but are also very fluid emotions. They're not always equal.
Well, you know, as a psychologist, you are aware that some parents move quickly and easily to embrace life as soon as their children leave.
Absolutely.
And we know others struggle. And we understand the reasons. Now, how do we help people see that this is not a problem, this is a natural course of events? How can we help them now see the possibilities for creating something new with their children before they were a monitor or a parent trying to guide and see that the children would have all the resources so they'd be healthy and safe? But now we can be a resource for something quite different. What would you say to parents about that? What resource can they become? And what relationship can they now enjoy with their children?
The relationship does change. And just as we could not predict what life was going to be like when we first had children, we cannot predict what life is going to be like when our children have left our home. And with that uncertainty comes a lot of excitement, because you have the wonderful opportunity of watching all of your hard work and all of the many, many years of your family time unfold and come into life. It's like planting a garden and having the beautiful flowers begin to, you know, come up, and some of the bulbs are up and some of them have not, you know, risen above ground yet, but they are beginning to develop. So one has a whole new landscape that's in front of them.
Now, you also mentioned that only 23% indicated profound unhappiness when they're young adults. I'm going to say some of these people may have had patterns of control or issues. We know they've had issues of fear of change and fear of perhaps aging, or fear of loss and low self-esteem and confidence. And maybe they've been socially immature too, being with the children more than being with the outside world. But 75% of parents immediately get a new lease on life. And that's a big difference in what we're seeing here, with those having a problem and those really going forward. And in my new book, The Living Spirit, I try to show how love is the vehicle to know ourselves and have more confidence and fully live life during any change or cycle. And we can enjoy the miracle of life more when we move in that direction, away from the fear. So we're going to encourage people to find ways to see that their nest is evolving and life is getting good. So what are some of the signs that the nest is evolving?
Well, I think one is that you feel less compelled to frequently contact your young adult and find out what they're doing, that your life is less focused on what they're doing and much more focused on what you're doing and what you and your spouse are doing and what possibilities lie ahead. There's also that, you know, timing. One of the many, when we were all young mothers and we used to have what I would call sour hour, which means, you know, around 4 or 5 o'clock when they were hungry or tired or whatever, everybody would be cranky. And I think that you know, there's that sour hour for all of us when we have older children and everybody's coming home and we're running around at 3 or 4 in the afternoon and we're exhausted. And
yes,
all of
right.
a sudden, that sour hour no longer exists.
Mm-hmm.
That you even know that you don't have a sour hour anymore, you now have 2 to 3 hours more in your day that you can plan and you can do things, whether it's go to yoga, whether it's exercise, go for a walk, write poetry, no matter what it is,
right.
that you really have that time for yourself.
It's a gift, actually. You know, I actually remember when I was a young teacher, and after school and whatever other classes I had to take care of, I would have a couple of hours before my husband would come home and dinner, and I would be free. I'd have my car. I could do things. It was such a wonderful feeling. And when you're a mother, a lot of your freedom is gone because you have your work, you have your children, you have your husband, you have... So it was, to me, like reliving another time in my life where I was totally relaxed and happy.
So sure, prior to children.
Right. Yep. So I'm asking people to focus on that and also to allow their grown-up children, as you said, the time, not to call them all the time, to allow them the time and the distance to develop their own needs, their own relationships, their own lifestyle, because they are not our little clones. Children are not a little repeat of our life and our values. They will develop their own needs and they will find them, and we will, in good parents, as good parents, we will be joyful and accept them and allow them and give them the responsibility to make these choices. But a lot of people cannot always do this. And this shift, you know, that we're talking about affects men and women also. And you give a story in your book. I liked it very much. There's a father who played golf every weekend with his son, but then his son now lives in the city and parties with his friends and is too tired to come out to the, you know, where his father lives on the weekend. So when the dad was asked by his friend, "Where's your son who always comes to play with you?" he said, "Oh, he blew me off as a friend. So I have to get used to..." I love this story. "I have to get used to this now." So the dad is really now feeling the shift you talked about, but that doesn't last long.
No, it doesn't, but it does come. You know, there's everybody deals with this differently. I think there's no right way. There's no wrong way. I think it's really important to acknowledge one's feelings, and it's okay to feel like, gee, I missed that regular weekly golf game. And then from that feeling, you can say, okay, this window is closed. Now let's find another window and open it up and see what else can be done at that time. So it's really turning gaps into portholes.
There are new things that can be created now, right? Patterns
Absolutely.
Change. Patterns change and
well, life changes.
And life
nothing
is constant.
Nothing stays the same ever.
No, we're moving constantly. Minute by minute, we're becoming different individuals than we were the minute before, and that's a good thing. It's not a bad thing. So we have seen that the tangible signs might also include things like, oh, you don't look at the high school calendar, and there's now books on new subjects that you always wanted to study, and since we said this already, since your children require less of your time, you can do charity work, you can take cooking lessons, you can
sure, there's plenty to be done.
So much, but you have to be willing to go out of your comfort zone. You've been living in one state, in a cocoon, so to put it, for so long, and now you have to go out of that zone. It takes a little effort and consistency, but it can be done, and once it's done, there's so much joy in the progress that you're going to be able to make for yourself and your husband, or spouse, or friends, whoever, you know, you're most involved with. Now, you also give 4 different ways to define American parents from a study completed in 2012 by Virginia's Institute for Advanced Studies in Culture. And the 4 categories included the faithful parent, the engaged progressive, the detached, and the American dreamer. And you said that the largest group is the American dreamer. Can you tell us something about any of these categories?
Well, the American Dreamer, let's just talk about that since that is the largest one. And that is the one that, you know, that they hope and wish for, you know, better things for their children than they had for themselves. And, you know, they're invested in helping them see their potential, both them, meaning the parents, providing time and energy and financial resources and anything they can possibly do. So that American Dreamer really is really looking and saying, you know, this is part of my investment, but I really want for our child to realize their possibilities, their potential.
I agree. That's probably most parents who are not under extreme stress from their physical world in, you know, in surviving in any health issue or work situation. You know, people who are more balanced, that is going to be their way. And others might struggle a little bit, but we're going to go on to something very interesting. The helicopter parent and the precision parent. Can you tell us something about that?
Yeah, I can. Actually, the helicopter parent was coined in the 1980s. And those were the parents who really hovered and kind of did things for their children. And they really, as you say, live, you know, vicariously through their children's accomplishments or difficulties. You know, everything impacted actually the helicopter parent. I coined precision parent in my book, and that was the educated parent that I see as taking, it's a style of parenting and involvement that's purposeful and mindful with the idea of providing tools to assist in the child's development.
And that is the right way, and that is the best way. Just what you said, those two words, mindfulness and tools for determining how to become a responsible adult and make the choices that they must make that we cannot make for them. So I love that you brought that, the idea of the precision parent out. And I'm hoping that we're going to see more parents like that, because I still see so many parents when I'm out and about who are undermining the confidence and self-esteem of their young children by inflicting and imposing a lot of their opinions and their beliefs and not allowing the children to discover life on their own. And I know that we have a soul component and an energetic component, which is different than our physical life. And when you wound that in a child, it's very hard for these children to recover, and it'll take them much counseling and much trauma later on throughout their life to go past this. So I'm really hoping for better parenting on all ends and through all organizations and through the educational system, and a greater understanding of energy, words, and actions, how they impact all of us as parents and as individuals. We're all receiving, we're sensory beings, and we're receiving a great deal of information through everybody's actions. We're interconnected and all the words. So we want to help people with that. Know that they need to be mindful. Those words are very important. Mindful, thoughtful, considerate, less judgmental, and more approving. Even if children do things in a different way than we did it, it's the way of progress, and it's the way they need to do it. So we want to help a little bit with that, I think.
Well, we can all do the best we can try to do and be as informed as possible, and we can try to be as mindful as possible. And yes, we'll make mistakes, and hopefully as parents we learn from those mistakes. But the most important thing to learn as a parent is that we can't do it for our children. We can help them, we can
yes.
do it with them, and we can teach them. And from there, it is up to them to take it to the next level. It's kind of like teaching them to walk. We can't walk for them.
Right.
They have to learn to walk themselves, and they make a lot of falls, and they scream, and they cry. Sometimes they want to hold on to you. And that's really the process of parenting, and the process, conversely, of what happens when we're trying to let go of them while they're spreading their wings and learning to be autonomous.
Yeah, that's also the process of love and acceptance and a realization that there are many levels of reality, and not everybody's reality may be ours. What you said before, that we have to accept some people will go through it in one way and some people will go through it in another way. And we're not going to judge it. We're not going to judge it, but we are going to see that some ways are a little easier for everybody involved. So how might a marriage be impacted when one partner is more visibly and emotionally challenged by an emptiness, or even by a partially returning adult child, which can then cause another set of circumstances to happen? Now the child's been out of the home, and you've gotten used to another lifestyle, and now the child, because of work situation or health, may have to come back. So what are some of the signs that we've got some emotional issues happening here? What might we see?
You asked two different questions. One is what happens with the marriage, and how, you know, if one person experiences the departure of their youngest more intensely or more acutely than the other. And then your second question was what happens when they return back? Probably you're assuming their emotional issues or whatever. The first question is related to the second question, and that is first and foremost communicate so that it's okay to have the feelings that you have. You and your spouse are not going to have the identical feelings about the departure of your young adult, and it's okay. It's important to share them because that's part of your marriage and that's part of your partnership, and that's part of strengthening your marriage for where it is now in this stage of life. So really talking and communicating is essential. The second part is when the young adults return home, I don't always think today that, you know, these are emotional issues that they're returning home because they're returning home. You know, I think the financial world today, the, you know, job market is so challenging that these young adults need to come home because they cannot support themselves. And again, communication is essential because they're returning home as different people than they were when they first left. They've been on their own for 4 years, and you've been on your own, you and your spouse, for 4 years. And therefore, the rhythm of your lives, both of yours, have changed dramatically. So it really means being mindful, setting limits and boundaries, you as the parent, what's acceptable, what's not acceptable, what your expectations are. Do you expect them to help around the house? Do you expect them to pay rent? Do you expect them to get a job by a certain amount of time? These kind of things, these parameters that one sets forth is really important so that you can smooth the way for when your young adult returns back home.
Yeah.
And your life returns.
Right. And whatever fears, then there will be, again, there's only two emotions in the world, fear or love. There will be some fears of the unknown and changes, but we will go to the love state and we will remember to respect each person, your children, yourself, indeed everyone, without imprinting personal opinions or controlling perhaps the course of the unfolding of any event. And this allows us all to discover our greatest joys, also to revisit our fears, and encourages personal development. And every challenge and change in our life is going to do this, allow us the goal to support but not suppress, and to love but not smother, to engage but not control, and to allow our children to remember and become the best version of their unique soul and not ours. And I want to thank you, Wendy Aronson, for sharing in your book, Refeathering the Empty Nest, the shift and transition that all parents go through when their grown children establish their way forward into their own life pattern and destiny. For more information on this timely subject, both for those approaching the process or those who have already gone through it, and to understand how to be a better parent no matter what the age of your child, go to WendyAronson.com. In summarizing today's episode of Healing From Within, we have discussed the many emotions that surround each family's involvement with their children's developing maturity and self-actualization process. Some parents are more emotionally well-suited to flow through parenting, adapting to the changing needs of their unique children. And indeed, we are all unique and on special life paths, which then honor which when honored by precision parenting rather than a style of modern-day parenting known as hovering or helicopter parenting, which can limit normal and necessary personal growth, everyone in the family benefits, and the changes can bring greater satisfaction, health, joy, and hopefully the entire family structure, parents and children, will all benefit. Wendy and I encourage you to recognize your parenting style and to continue to improve yourself first, love more, and there will be success in this shift in life when children leave the nest and go into their first home, and everything will transition into the next stage of family life and will be joyful rather than fearful or limited. I am Cheryl Glick, host of Healing From Within, and I invite you to visit my website, CherylGlick.com, to hear authors in the field of science, spirituality, medical practices, energy healing, the arts, and music, to explore ways we may improve the quality of our lives and transition through each cycle with wisdom, while finding the tools or techniques to affect personal growth in the most positive way. Also go to webtalkradio.net and dreamvision7radio.com. Thank you very much for listening.